One Christmas, a man was driving his family to distraction. So they persuaded him to see a doctor. For the problem was, he thought he was dead, while being fully alive, breathing, talking, and walking. The doctor, getting nowhere with the man, in desperation asked this question: "Do you agree that dead men don't bleed?" "Certainly," was the reply. Whereupon the doctor found a needle, pricked the man's thumb, and blood appeared. "Good heavens," he said, "dead men do bleed." Now, true or false, that illustrates a too frequent reality well described by the atheist Aldous Huxley. He once wrote, referring to beliefs and morals, "We don't know because we don't want to know. It is our will that decides how and upon what subjects we shall use our intelligence." Now, that too often happens with the facts of the Christmas story, hence our leaflet for you to take on the virginal conception of Jesus. How different were those shepherds we've just heard about in that last reading, out in fields near Bethlehem on that first Christmas night 2,000 or so years ago? For they were open-minded and used their intelligence on that supernatural experience we heard about in that last reading from Luke's Gospel. Luke's history writing is respected by modern historians. Also, being a medical doctor, he knew how to distinguish fact from fiction. And so it seemed did the shepherds. For we read that when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said — now literally that was were saying, they had a discussion and said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So then they went with haste to see for themselves this thing that had happened. And what did they find? Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, as they had been told. So that open-air supernatural experience they knew was for real. However, someone will say, in the 21st century, we can't believe it. Well, true, we can't imagine it. Neither previously could those shepherds have imagined it, hence their fear. But always distinguish the imaginable from the believable. Those shepherds also could never have imagined anyone eating Christmas pudding 250 miles above the earth, traveling at 17,200 miles per hour on an international space station. But we now know that that is quite believable, because the British spaceman Major Pete did it last Christmas. The fundamental is this: is it more believable that ultimately, behind this amazing universe of space and time, exists an he or an it, the living God, or an impersonal force? Alongside billions of others, for a spaceman known worldwide, the answer has been obvious: the living God. John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth, sadly died on Friday. However, before he died, he publicly confessed that the awesome and magnificent view of our Earth from outer space had reinforced his faith. I quote, "To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible." What then did the shepherds do when convinced that their experience that first Christmas Eve was real? Well, the answer: they told others. For the very next verse that follows our reading, Luke 2 verse 18, says this: "All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." The shepherds were sharing with others the angel's message that they now believed on good evidence. And that message was: good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And it was good news in four ways. First, it was good news for all people. Jesus Christ came that first Christmas, yes, first to the Jews, but then for all. So it's for everyone here tonight. Whatever your wealth, education, colour, sex, country of birth, you name it, it is for you. Secondly, it was good news that a Saviour was born. Then, as now, the real problem with the world is not lack of knowledge or a bad environment. The real problem is not something either education or science will solve. Yes, they and other solutions help with the symptoms. But the real problem is the sin of men and women. We live, as we sang, in a weary world with woes of sin and strife and man at war with man. And there are people here tonight knowing only too well sadness or worse through others or their own sin. And we all sin in various ways through what we do and also through the good we fail to do. The prophet Isaiah was amazingly looking forward, as we heard in that third reading, to Christmas and the birth of a child. The would-be child, the child would be the longed-for Messiah to save the nation spiritually and politically. But later in Isaiah, we read this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that is sin, ignoring God's way and doing what we want. So from the person who says me first and not God to the online fraud of bogus retailers trying to get the card details of Christmas shoppers we're warned about this Christmas, you have the same problem. It is sin and selfishness. And Jesus Christ is unique because as Saviour, he came to deal with sin. And how? Well, Christ saves you from the guilt of sin and the judgment you deserve from a loving but sin-hating God. He saves you from the power of sin by giving you new life and the Holy Spirit to start living God's way. And through Jesus' resurrection, leaving that empty tomb, he saves you for a wonderful eternal future beyond your death as you trust in him. So Jesus was born to die for sin, and that's why there are Christmas communion services celebrating his death. His death meant, as the communion hymn puts it, in my place condemned he stood. And the response, hallelujah, what a saviour. And you can now have peace with God. God and sinners are reconciled, as we're going to sing in our next hymn, a chorus carol. I wonder who tonight knows they need to get right with God and need to accept Christ's forgiveness and peace. Well, why not do it this Christmas? Then thirdly, the shepherds were telling that the one born was a saviour who is Christ. Christ is Greek for Hebrew Messiah. The good news of Jesus being the Christ is that history is not out of control. The West and much of the world may be at a tipping point. But whatever the future, trust God, for he is in control. Prophets like Isaiah look forward to a time when God, as the Bible puts it, would visit and redeem his people, righting wrong through his Messiah. And that new age or kingdom was dawning with the birth of Jesus Christ. And all will be fulfilled and consummated when he returns at the end of history and for judgment, as this Advent season reminds us and we say in the Creed Sunday by Sunday. Yes, God has a plan for this world and he is working his purposes out as year succeeds to year. And he has a good plan for your life. You may have messed things up a bit, But God will still use you as you trust and obey him in his good plan. But then fourthly and supremely, the Christmas message of the shepherds and the angel is that our Saviour is not only Christ, but the Lord. The word Lord translates the Hebrew name of God in the Old Testament. It is a mystery, but as our first reading made clear, and as did the first choir item, the God who is love and is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came down at Christmas in the person of God the Son, and he became the baby in a manger. I heard of a contemporary of mine whose father was absent in World War II. To keep his memory alive, his mother daily took him to look at the large portrait she had of her husband. And one day, as he stood looking, he said to his mother, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if Father could just step down out of the frame?" Well, that first Christmas, God stepped down out of his frame, and that prophecy of Emmanuel came true. Emmanuel means God with us, and it's now in the person of Jesus Christ. So you never need be alone, for Christ the Lord is with you always as you trust him to guide you, to help and forgive you. But finally, the message the shepherds were sharing was direct and personal. It was for you. For unto you is born this day a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So the question, is Christ your Saviour for the past, present, and for your eternal future? And is he your Lord whom you not only trust, but obey? And why not, if you can, follow the shepherds and their example and be open-minded, and when convinced, tell others the message for all the world and all need.